I'm Megan Bennett.
I'm Leslie Meyer.
And this is Gen X Women Are Sick of This Shit. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Megan.
How are you?
I'm just great.
I'm glad.
I'm gonna adjust my microphone a tiny
bit.
We
can start over.
You know what I'm gonna do? No, I'm gonna make this sound just for Tim.
Oh, he's gonna love that.
So that he knows that I was thinking about him, because I want to be able to look at you while we talk. Unlike when we got our pictures taken for a local magazine.
Oh my God, we are in the Indianapolis Monthly Best Of episode for December.
Mm-hmm.
We think.
I mean,
they took our picture.
Somebody showed up and took our photograph.
And he had equipment.
Technically don't know why.
We got to leave our clothes on.
Has let us know. unlike we thought would be the case in every PSA in the late 70s and early 80s, where we were all going to be lured away to be supermodels
in a white van
by men who want to take our pictures.
Right.
We were absolutely not asked to remove any clothing or sign any contracts or go into any windowless vans.
No, he just wanted us to look like we were making a podcast.
Yes, but looking at the camera.
Acting.
Which is incredibly difficult.
It really is.
Because
we look at each other.
We do. That is what we
it's
do.
What you do when you have a podcast thing. Most of the time.
You look at your co-host, mm-hmm. Which is probably why on My Favorite Murder, now that the gals are back in the studio, they sit at a table and look at each other with their microphones right in front of them.
I think that's the future of us. So I think we need to have a...
We don't have to navigate any of the moving around things.
I think the future is not sofa. The future is a table.
Yeah.
Yes. Probably with two very comfortable, like, I don't know, high-backed...
Spinny chairs.
Oh, God. Tim would be really pissed about that. Whee!
Spinny chairs. Yeah, that probably isn't the best idea. It's hard enough for me to remember what I'm doing.
And for two girls with ADHD, we'd be fidgeting like motherfuckers.
We do not need the spinny chairs, but my body would appreciate it.
Agreed.
Okay. Hi, here we are. We're going to be doing a full-length episode today.
We've got a lot to talk about.
With all the segments. Mm-hmm. And we're pretty psyched about it.
And our main topic that we'll talk about is holiday TV specials.
Yes!
Which are so fun. So we'll get to all of that and get to talk about some of our favorite
specials from our youth.
So the 70s and 80s. And we, of course, grew up with like the stuff that was actually created in the 50s and 60s.
Yes.
But so we'll talk about that and some of the more modern stuff too.
Oh, yeah. We so still fun. Have all that stuff too.
Love it.
Now on the DVDs. Or I guess the streaming. We have both.
Or the Blu-ray or the VHS or the all the things that came before.
Laser discs. Beta.
That's so funny.
Betamax. But we should start with the bullshit and the hot goss, aka
who died this week. Oh, it's so sad that we've gotten to that. But they keep dropping
here
like flies.
We well, this week we have two things to talk about. We do have a hot goss, and then we do have a who died this week. And
so
both
who died this week, Leslie?
Terry Garr.
Oh.
And I love her.
Yeah, she was fantastic. I mean, my God, the stuff that she was in.
Yes. I think my most quoted Terry Garr movie in this house is Mr. Mom. And it's when Michael Keaton is doing some renovations in the living room and he says, oh God, I'm going to get it wrong.
Get it 220, close.
220, 221, whatever it takes. When he's asking him about rewiring the house. Like, we quote some form of that all the time because I live in a 100-year-old house that we're constantly doing shit on, and who fucking knows?
So make it up.
People will ask questions, oh, what are you doing with this? And we're just like, 220, 221, whatever it takes. And the further away that we get from that movie, which was released in 1983 when I was 10, the fewer people get that reference, but we understand it.
That movie was so funny. I mean, everything from, I mean, the fucking Whoopi.
Yes.
Like,
ugh.
I don't know that there's a Gen X mother out there who didn't talk about the Whoopi.
The Whoopi.
And their, like, kids having the Whoopi or some variation,
absolutely.
Right? But in the back of their minds, no matter what you call the blanket in your head, It was probably the Whoopi.
It's the Whoopi. And that actor, I know we've told this, I've told this story before. Sweet Tellus and Jaffe is on one of our favorite live role-playing games that we watch on the regular now.
So fun.
On Critical Role. And so that's such a great tie back because here we are all together again.
I mean, I think when you think about Mr. Mom, like, isn't Michael Keaton the only person in that cast? I mean, besides the kid, yes, that is the kids that are still living, right? I think that's right.
I also thought Jimmy Carter was already dead, so you should not trust me with anything.
As of this recording, Jimmy Carter is still alive.
Jimmy Carter's still alive, and he did get to vote.
Thank you,
Mr. Carter.
He did.
Other movies that Terry Garr is incredibly well known for from our Gen X era, Close Encounters of the Third Kind,
yes,
in 1977. Love that movie. Tootsie, 1982. And Young Frankenstein, 1974.
Rolling the hay. Rolling the hay.
Love just the comedic genius of that movie. And that film in particular, all of those cast members have passed away.
Oh, I can't, yeah.
None of them are with us anymore. But that movie will live forever.
Yes.
Abby Noir.
Mel Brooks outlived all of them.
Truth.
It's crazy. So Terry Garr was also, so she passed away at 79.
Mm-hmm.
She, in the early 70s, she was in the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour.
Oh my goodness, I didn't know that.
So
thank you.
That's pretty fun. She was also in an episode of MASH.
Oh, wow.
It says just one episode. So
okay.
She played Lieutenant Suzanne Marquette in an episode in 1973. She was in the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Oh my gosh.
So in 1973, she was in the TV series of The Odd Couple. She played an insurance agent, which is pretty funny.
Everybody starts somewhere.
She was in The Bob Newhart Show for two episodes.
I love that.
She played she played Miss Brennan in The Bob Newhart Show. I wonder if she was somebody sitting on the couch. I'd have to look. Like if she was one of Bob Newhart's
That would be amazing.
Patients, but that would be great. And then, of course, Young Frankenstein in 74.
She was in
Maud. She played in an episode of Maud.
Okay.
She was in an episode of Law and Order.
I don't remember this. She was in Dumb and Dumber. I don't remember her.
I don't
part.
Remember
she
her.
She played
in
a
that
character
either.
Named Helen Swanson. The only reason is that movie cracks my shit up.
You know, here's another movie she was in that I didn't realize. Do you remember George Burns in Oh God?
I do.
So she was in Oh God.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't realize that either. She played a character named Bobby Landers. I'd have
Amazing.
To go back and watch that.
There's so much I don't remember.
She was in The Black Stallion.
She was
played
in
Alex's,
Tales from the Crypt.
She played Alex's mom in The Black Stallion.
I loved that movie.
All the girls loved the horses growing up.
That was kind of rude. I just burped. I'm so sorry. I tried to keep it subtle, but I'm pretty sure
it didn't work.
It's not going to be subtle.
It. Everybody heard it.
I have some coffee, and it's really good.
I'm just going to pretend like I didn't hear any of that, and I'm
going
to say that she's
keep
also
going.
In.
Yeah, do it.
So she was in the music video for Ray Parker Jr.'s Ghostbusters too.
That's really her most famous role.
I'm sure an uncredited Terry Garr appearance on that video.
That's amazing.
Which makes me want to go back and watch that and find her. She was also in Sesame Street. She did an episode of Sesame Street.
Okay. Did you see this one?
What's up?
1964.
Okay.
She was an uncredited dancer in Viva Las Vegas
with
Elvis.
Viva Las Vegas. See, I can sing, but I can't I can't really sing. But I can sing just like a bar here and there so that we don't get sued. But, I could sing Viva Las Vegas.
And Elvis, fun fact, played his last concert here in Indianapolis, Indiana.
He did indeed.
In Market Square Arena. And there is
there's a plaque.
There you go. I was like a statuary thing.
A thing. Yeah,
and
there's a plaque.
Like a
it's in Banker's Lifestyle
or something in it?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
What's in it? Let's make it up. I bet it's his sweaty scarf.
Maybe.
From
it
his
could
last
be.
Show.
It could be. It might be somebody's underwear that they threw on stage.
Could be.
How about that? If like you later in life realize that, you know, they open the time capsule and your panties are in there.
What was that? Oh my God. What are they going to do with that? Genetic material. Use it for cloning. That's what we're going to do.
Clone an Elvis super fan. Wow, have we gotten off track.
That's really, wow. We're awesome. Okay. But that was who died this week. And our hot goss is about a musical star.
Yeah. My high school years, junior high, high school, all that, I was a Cure super fan.
Hell yes.
I loved them. I remember vividly, vividly, vividly sitting on the counter in my kitchen as a kid listening to The Cure, listening to 1016 on a Saturday night.
Aww.
Like the song, yes. While sitting next to the kitchen sink. There's a line in there about sitting on the kitchen sink.
Yes. Blah, blah, blah.
And I was literally sitting on the kitchen sink.
And you were like, whoa.
I was like, ooh, this is meta.
Mystical.
So, brand new album came out. It's Songs of a Lost World is the name of it. I think really, certainly. Really good stuff. And the reviews are off the charts. Mm-hmm. They also streamed on November 1st, on launch day, they did a live stream of the album and played the album live on YouTube, which so is freaking really cool.
Yeah. And I know people in the Gen X Women Are Sick of This Shit Facebook group were just losing their minds over how good it was and how much the lyrics are resonating and just the music is speaking to people's souls. And I am very excited that it exists in the world.
Me too. Awesome. Sounds like good Cure music too. So
I had a custom bleached jean jacket when I was a freshman in high school.
Yeah.
Meaning I bleached my jean jacket.
Yeah, you did.
And I remember copying a bunch of the album artwork. I have a vinyl of Just Like Heaven. I think it's like a single.
Yeah.
And I remember carefully
tracing that out.
Tracing a bunch of that on my jacket. Nice. I don't have it anymore. This is a bummer. But
did it end up at like a Goodwill and somebody else found it and they're like, "This is my favorite item of
clothing." I hope so. Yeah, that's a much better story than probably the reality of it.
Yeah, let's pretend.
We're gonna pretend that went and someone was like, "This is so vintage," and you would be correct. It is quite vintage.
It is handmade vintage. Did you have buttons on your jacket?
I did.
Do you remember any of those? I'm just curious.
On there. Not really, truthfully. I'm pretty sure I had a Dead Milkmen button on there. That feels true.
Man, like you did. Yeah, that's awesome.
Everything else, probably the Anarchy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And maybe like a Vans. It would have been like, nope. What was the skateboarding magazine in the 80s? The colors, it was black and red and white.
Oh, wow, I'm going to sound like a super poser when I go, I don't remember. I was going to say Billy Bong, but Billy Bong was surfing.
This, I can't remember. I can see it really clearly.
I remember Thrasher was, was it Thrasher?
Maybe it was for Thrasher, but I feel like
Thrasher was a skateboard.
I'll just have to like Google that and correct it later.
Also, can I just say I have no idea that Thrasher would ever come to the forefront of my mind again. Like, I haven't thought about that in
why would you? Yes.
For 40 years?
Yes.
I feel dude, like I it pulled was that vision. Out of my ass.
Well done.
Yeah, no shit. It's weird when things like do that.
Every time we talk, long, dark channels of our brains totally where things wild. Come from. So there we go. May or may not have had buttons on that jacket that may or may not have gone to a thrift store. R.I.P. Here we are.
So we were going to talk about something that we're sick of, and it kind of ties in with Terry Garr, right?
Oh my golly, what shit are we sick of today, Megan?
So medical issues for women are are vast. We've got lots of stuff that goes wrong with our bodies that doesn't happen to men, and it seems like in a lot of ways there are giant gaping holes in our medical care for women. And as what happened with Terry Garr, for example, she had MS for decades, mm-hmm. decades and decades, and apparently even had symptoms as far back as when she was recording Tootsie, when mm-hmm. they were filming Tootsie, and had to go to like 11 different doctors and wasn't diagnosed until 1999 that she even had MS.
That's such bullshit.
I just, yeah.
We are sick of the state of women's health care.
It should be better by now.
Yeah, it absolutely should be better. Yes, it should be better right now. The level of like medical gaslighting done to women is mind-boggling.
You're just hysterical. Don't just come. Just breathe better.
I wish.
Breathe deeper. You'll be fine. You should just get more sleep, Leslie.
You really just need
relax.
A rest. You know, you need to cut back on the amount of stress in your life. Good.
You probably are
life,
having
dude.
Too much sugar, too. You should probably cut back on sugar.
Oh, the answer to everything is, well, just if you lose weight.
Right. Just lose weight. You'll be fine.
So this kind of shit happens all the time. And we're frankly quite sick of it. And women need to have access to good healthcare and just be believed.
Yeah.
The lengths that I have gone to get my ADHD diagnosis is preposterous.
Yeah.
Knowing full well, I'm a psychotherapist. I'm not a psychologist, but I have gone through the DSM. I know my own history. The number of people I've had to like explain this to who've been referred me to other people who did poor quality testing, who did not do the right kinds of interviews, who just said, oh, you probably just have social anxiety. It goes on sure. and on. Who gave me an inaccurate diagnosis that I actually did not at all qualify for, now that I found a good psychologist who did the correct interviews with me.
Yeah.
And then not to mention all of the years leading up to even being brave enough to ask
right.
about this.
Right. Like something is fucking wrong and it has been for a really long time. Yes. And what is this?
And
so I think we've talked about this before on the pod, but you know, kids, when we were kids, the little boys who would fidget in their seats
yep.
or couldn't sit still, those were the ones that the teachers would pull the parents in and they'd be like, there's something wrong with your kid. You probably need to have him diagnosed for like ADHD, blah, right. blah, blah. And so the boys got diagnosed.
And only if it was hyperactivity.
Right. Like only if they
the
were fidgeting.
And interfered with the classroom or you had like another learning disability where the attention was so
right.
brief it made it right. hard for you to learn.
Absolutely. So those were the kids that got stuck on Ritalin, right?
Yes.
And meanwhile, the girls, we have been for our whole lives, this is super generalized, right?
Yeah, but absolutely. We are not.
We're not everybody.
Not doctors.
Right. But, you know, for the most part, like little girls are taught to sit still. They're taught mm-hmm. to behave. They're taught to like just, you know, cup your hands together and don't fidget.
Mm-hmm.
All this shit. And in your mind, you're because I too have been diagnosed. In your mind, you were like fucking everywhere. Mm-hmm. You're mm-hmm. walking on the moon. You're, you yeah. know, 2 weeks ago, distracted. You were doing something. You're thinking about a book that you read. You're thinking about, mm-hmm. you know, you're writing notes, you're fidgeting, you're doodling, you're doing all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody pays a fucking bit of attention mm-mm. to that as a kid.
No, you're bad.
No, you're, yeah, you're totally bad.
You're a bad kid or a bad
student. You
get
shitty grades.
Yeah.
And I got shitty grades. Oh, my mm-hmm. God. I found a couple report cards
mm-hmm.
from when I was a kiddo. And I'm reading the notes on the back of that post, of the back of the report card, because mm-hmm. they were all this little paper kind of long,
yep.
you know.
Yep, yep.
And you had this big bunch of scribble from your teachers about all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And every single one was like, Megan doesn't sit still in class. Megan mm-hmm. is like, you know, not, she could do so much better if she just mm-hmm. pay attention.
Get organized. Yeah.
Right. If only she would pay attention, she could get better grades. She's so smart, but why won't she pay attention? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Probably because I have ADD, damn it.
Right. And nobody ever said anything
not
to you about that.
Thing.
Didn't even consider it.
Not
for you
a thing.
Because girls don't get it.
Nope. And I was diagnosed about 5 years ago by my doctor because I'm very
oh, I'm so
lucky.
Glad.
Very lucky. I have an amazing doctor and she listens. She's one of those rare ones that spends an hour in
a
you know,
awesome.
Session with you.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. She listened. I told her about the report card thing and she mm-hmm. was like, huh,
mm-hmm.
let's have you tested.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough.
Same. The psychologist that I found most recently that I went in to speak to, actually one of the first things she asked was about my educational history. I'd always been a very good student. And so when I had found, because I learned to study, right? Like studying was my escape. I figured out how to do it.
That's really good. Fake it.
I till you make figured it. Out how to like manage things for myself when I would have to focus and concentrate on certain mm-hmm. things. I learned really like note taking because I read a ton.
God, I never
so
did.
I just underlined. And as that would help me focus. But I shared with her that I had found some report cards from like kindergarten, like mm-hmm. report mm-hmm. that were written. And it was, I was shocked because I didn't recognize myself. It was like, Leslie needs to stop talking to her friends. Leslie has trouble sitting still.
Oh, yeah.
Leslie. And then it sort of tumbled. I remembered like reports from elementary school in art classes where they would say like, you know, Leslie's really creative, but she never finishes anything. Like I yeah. billions.
Yeah.
I mean, my life is littered with the unfinished art projects or like my bag of knitting upstairs or the cross stitch yep. that I'm super into for like 3 weeks. And then I'll pick it back up again like 10 years later.
Yep. Same.
So
oh my God.
Pulling all that info people. Together, mm-hmm. that was, you know, and then a bunch of other things, just impulsivity and just managing, missing details.
Yeah.
I'll be very detail oriented and then miss like significant details.
Yep. Same.
That sort of like having difficulty moving back and forth in those attention facets.
God, it's just, I mean, that's just, and that's just ADD, right?
Right.
That's just
sure.
One little thing that
yes.
could go sideways.
Yes.
Meanwhile, like there's other people who have got physical ailments where
absolutely.
They're like, you know,
oh, yeah.
my wrists hurt all the time. I'm getting weird mm-hmm. headaches. I've got, you know, pain in one spot or another spot or,
yep.
you know, and your doctor's like, eh, you're fine.
That's part of aging. Or what are
right.
you doing to cause
right.
that?
Right. What have
right?
you done?
Like that's just part of aging.
Maybe
or there must
mattress.
Be something that you're doing. Like, you need to do this or you need to do that.
Exercise more and you'll be fine.
Right.
It's such bullshit. So
we're
I guess
sick of that.
What we want to say here is believe yourself. Trust
absolutely.
Your gut. If something's wrong, advocate for yourself. It's really fucking hard to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to find a good doctor who's going to listen to you. And if you live in a small community
oh, even
and you
harder.
Don't have access to all that,
yep.
I mean, that makes it really, really hard.
Yeah. It's easy. I mean, I say don't take no for an answer. Get a second opinion. And I know full well oftentimes you're going to have to pay.
Yeah.
If you haven't had to pay for your first opinion, you're definitely going to be paying for that second opinion because you can't bill for the same thing twice. You know, insurance
right.
companies get in the way. But keep talking. There are people who will listen to you. Get into groups. Ask questions. We have a lot of that in the Facebook group. We have to be careful about medical advice. You know, we don't want people to get bad medical advice, but the kind of crowdsourcing of, has anyone else had this experience? You know, that
right.
sort of stuff, those conversations I think are really rich.
Yeah, we can't do the whole, what supplement is working for you? That
right.
for a lot of reasons, like Facebook gets really snippy about that. But
yep.
but also, yeah, we want people to be really safe. And what works for one person
may not.
Is not mm-hmm. promised to work for another person.
Absolutely.
And you know, there's things present themselves differently. So you
yes.
may feel like your symptoms are the same as somebody else, but they may have a completely different thing happening
yep.
to them. So
yep. we don't know other people's bodies.
And then Leslie, do you want to touch on that menopause.org as the option for finding providers too?
Oh yeah. I mean that website, menopause.org, and we're layering this like ADHD and menopause together. Holy smokes.
There's
friends.
A lot going on here. Yeah.
So definitely find a healthcare provider. You can go through menopause.org, but also just look for kind of Google menopause OBGYNs in your area who have expertise in menopause or work with older women.
Yeah.
They have good resources. We are big advocates for Dr. Jen Gunter and the Menopause Manifesto. All of the things that she shares are evidence-based, which
mm-hmm.
is critical when we're talking
exactly.
about women's healthcare. I just had an appointment with my GYN to get on HRT, and we talked about, I'm so glad I'm just like in my first week of this, and we talked about the benefits and we talked about the risks, and she understands everything. She works with lots and lots of menopausal women. I took no convincing whatsoever.
You're like, you know, give it to me now.
She prescribed all the things, sent blood work off, and I'll check back in 3 months. But
that's awesome.
I'm really hoping I'll be able to sleep.
Yeah, I think you will. You'll have, and the thing, I'm on it as well. So yes. And it does take some time. Like mm-hmm. you get on it, and then you have to kind of play with the dosage with your doctor and try to find exactly what's working for you.
Yeah.
So if you're still having hot flashes after you've been on a certain level for, you know, a couple right. of months, can they play with that a little bit and switch some things out? If you get weird random hairs growing out of your face, you know, it might be that, you know, there's a little too much testosterone in there. So right. It's a balance act that takes time, but I'll be curious how you do over
time. Me too.
Time.
I will report back. Am I excited to start my testosterone.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
It's pretty cool.
I'm waiting just to get those levels back. But there's been such a variation in my level. Like I know for sure when I started lifting weights, my testosterone was spiked totally. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. it's since sort of tanked. So we'll see how it goes in the next couple months.
Yeah. I like sleeping.
Sleeping is nice.
It's so nice. And to look forward to it again is a wonderful thing. Like you're right? Like, oh, I could just go to bed right now and that'd be nice. And I'll sleep through the night.
I can't even.
And maybe
that happens occasionally.
Weird ass dreams.
After
which are kind
staying
of fun.
Up late so many nights. Do you get weird dreams?
I get the best weird dreams. Yeah, it's so fun. So I truly
That's
enjoy
amazing.
It. So
what are we doing?
So we're going to talk about these holiday specials. So we're recording this podcast at the beginning of November, but mm-hmm. we know that it's going to play a little in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah. Maybe next week. Maybe 3 weeks from now. We don't know.
But now is when we start seeing these pop up on TV. So
yes.
Like, you know, your TNT and your TBS and all those like cable channels that will inevitably play mm-hmm. the fun Christmas shows that yep. happen
that we remember so mm-hmm. fondly that would only come on once a year on a particular night of the week, like a Wednesday or a Thursday,
always on a night when you have something else going on.
Yeah. That we would wait for all year long.
Yeah. Yep.
And they sort of signaled the beginning of the holiday season,
right? Yeah. So now, yeah, because those were on like CBS, I think, back. I'm making that up. I don't know if it was mm-hmm. CBS or ABC or
that.
Whatever. But they, right, it was like one channel would always have the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer mm-hmm. and the Nestor the Long-Eared Donkey mm-hmm. and all of those
Santa Claus.
Babkin. I got to look them up now.
These are the Christmas specials that we grew up with as kids. So probably like whenever we started watching TV mm-hmm. till like 10
or
kind
yeah,
of the most influential time where like you were really building those like core memories.
Yeah. You've put your Christmas stuff up and it's, mm-hmm. It used to be that these would play after Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And before Christmas,
yes.
Like maybe the week before Christmas, you would have like all of these cool Christmas specials.
Yeah.
And now I think they spread them out a lot more and you see them, I mean, probably multiple times on different cable channels
and
stuff.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But it used to be you only got, it was one shot. You know, if you missed Rudolph, you missed Rudolph.
You were out.
You did not get to see it. So
if
you
your
had
parents
to,
made you go shopping or to the grocery store that night, you just didn't get to be in the cool club that year.
Right. Such a bummer. But that, yeah, that was a big one. Rudolph was a big one. Grinch. Oh my God. Just
the year
so
without
many.
Santa Claus. These are specials like Rudolph was 1964, Year Without Santa Claus, 1974. Santa Claus Has Come to Town was 1970. Frosty the Snowman was 69.
Wow. I thought that one was,
uh-huh.
I'm surprised. I guess I thought that one
so
was
So these
a
are
later.
Some of the early ones. You mentioned Nestor the Long-Eared Christmas Donkey. That was 77. Little Drummer Boy was 68.
God, those will make you cry.
I know.
That Nestor one is rough.
He's so sad.
It's so sad.
Frosty was 76.
Okay.
And evidently there was a Little Drummer Boy book too. I have no memory.
Oh, I don't
of this.
Remember that.
That was 76. And there was something called The Stingiest Man in Town. Oh, it must have been sort of a Christmas Carol.
Nice.
Spinoff. Uh-huh. And that was 78. Rudolph's Shiny New Year was 76.
I loved that one. That one was really good. That one had a big, God, it was a bad guy who was his name, I think his name was Egon. And he was a, I know, right? Because again, more shit that just falls out of my brain. He was a
shiny New Year.
Yeah. He was a like a vulture or something.
Sure, I believe you.
Egon. And then he was eventually won over by the baby New Year. Yeah.
1 million. Sir. Santa Claus. Oh, my brain doesn't know where to go now. Okay. So we're going to come back to these. We're going to wind a little
bit. Okay.
A few weeks ago, we haven't shared it yet, but we did a watch along with Hardware Wars. And that came out of our Star Wars episode.
Yes.
Because I remembered fondly watching Hardware Wars as a child. Star Wars parody. Right. There you go.
And you got to share this with me for my very first viewing of it. I had never seen it before.
Yes.
And the only thing I could think of, I mean, it was pretty cool, but there was a voice. There was a voiceover. The guy who was narrating it, I was like, this person has played a massive role in my childhood, and I recognize this voice so strongly.
Yes. And so you did a little digging,
right?
And then you found it, and his name was Richard Paul Frees, F-R-E-E-S.
Paul Frees.
And Paul Frees played a million things.
A million and one characters. He was one of the biggest voice actors of all time, right? Yeah. Like everything from Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yes. Santa Claus.
He played Santa Claus. He played didn't he play Jack Frost or something too?
Yes. He was in the War of the Worlds, second radio reporter, opening announcer, 1953.
Holy crap.
Did the voice of Mabrook the Cat in The Last Unicorn.
Aww.
I know. I love that movie. He is a voice in the Hall of Presidents at Disney.
Who does he play in the Hall of Presidents?
Looks like George Washington.
He's George Washington.
Is that true? Am I right? I could be lying.
Oh my God, that's so cool though.
I tell lots of tales. George Washington.
That is cool.
Yep. Maybe all three of these. George Washington, Thomas Mifflin, and Stephen A. Douglas. Possibly.
I mean, he's got a very versatile voice, but it's a very recognizable voice. It's one of those, like, when you hear his stuff, and he's passed away now, so we don't get the joy of hearing any more of him, but, like, just if you recognize a voice in cartoon world from our childhood,
lesson learned.
There was a very good chance that he was the voice that you're hearing.
Yep. Oh, this was the other one that you found. The ghost host in The Haunted Mansion.
Yes.
I'm your ghost. And Adventure Through Inner Space, now Star Tours at Disneyland and Walt Disney World. It was just fascinating. So all of this, our Star Wars to Christmas specials.
They overlap because of Paul.
Thank you very much. There we go.
Yeah. And I bet you if we dug in, I bet you he was the voice on a lot of those Christmas episodes.
That we would remember.
Yeah, sure.
So in my mind, Christmas holiday specials have sort of two categories. They're the ones from like the 60s and the 70s mm-hmm. that just seem to always exist. And then there were the ones based on more contemporary cartoons like of the 80s. One of which we talked about already, we've mentioned Star Wars, but there was the infamous Star Wars Christmas special.
Oh, Lord.
Where they celebrated.
Where every person on that screen looks like they are being tortured. They're all like, we know how this is going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
We're never going to live this shit down. B. Arthur was in that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure she was miserable. Everybody was miserable.
Happy Life Day, Megan.
Happy Life Day, Leslie.
Here we are.
And if you go to Disney and you go to Hollywood Studios, you can buy like a Life Day mug or something.
That's awesome.
Like a Happy Life Day mug.
I need to buy a Life Day mug because we need to always remember that.
And about that same time,
yes.
You got Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I totally forgot. Oh, so cute.
It's the cutest. Put a hole in the washtub. Yeah, so cute. So I loved that one. That was one. It came out in 1977. It was a Jim Henson, of course.
Yes.
And that one never got played enough. And then it disappeared for the longest time. And I think now, you know, you can watch it, but, and you should, because it's so good. But it's so one that just sort of disappeared for a long time.
There were also some animated specials that I remember just because we had like bootlegged them at some point off the television. One of them was a Pac-Man Christmas. Do you remember this?
I really don't. That one I have no memory of.
And Mrs. Pac-Man. The only reason I remember this is because it was on the VHS with like a bunch of stuff. So we were able to watch it with like the magnet stuff that would go over the video when you record. So there was a Pac-Man Christmas. And then there was evidently also, I do not remember this, a He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special.
Did Skeletor make an appearance? Was he like Skeletor stole Santa Claus or something like that?
He-Man and She-Ra, a Christmas special, 1985.
Oh, Lord.
Masters of the Universe. Oh, it's available on YouTube, y'all. here it is. There you go. Okay. So I'm going to like pause myself there, but everybody's in it. And we would have watched that because my brother loved He-Man and Masters of the Universe.
And see, I would have been 14 at that time and probably had moved on. I was probably way too angsty for 13. He-Man. And
so my brother's
She-Ra
4 years
Christmas.
Younger than me. So he would have been, that's why these things stick in my brain.
I was far too angsty at that point.
Did you ever watch the Alvin and the Chipmunks Christmas?
I remember it.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember it. It's probably not one that I would have searched out every year.
Right. Sure.
But I do have memory of that.
So what were there rituals around the holiday specials for you? Do you have specific memories?
I know that. So the Rudolph one was always the biggest, I think.
Okay.
And then I liked all of the kind of stop motion ones
so cool.
from back in the day.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The Nestor the Long-Eared Donkey, the Year Without a Santa Claus, the Burgermeister Meister Burger, like, and the the Heat Miser. And
that whole dance number, so freaking
so
great.
So epically funny. And I came to that one later.
Okay.
Like, I think I was more about the, you know, oh, Rudolph's really cute and blah, blah, blah. And then when I saw that one later, I was like, oh, no, this
is that the one with Yukon Cornelius?
No, that's Rudolph.
That's Rudolph.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
Yukon Cornelius.
And then he would like nothing. In the Land of Misfit Toys and all of that was in that one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that was all Rudolph. And then the Shiny New Year and the Year Without a Santa Claus was another one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? What? No. Yeah. That's the one where Santa takes a vacation?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm losing my mind a little bit.
Probably. We're mushing things together.
Right, because there's one where it's like this. Yes, so there's one where he takes a break.
Uh-huh.
That's, I think, the one with the Heat Miser and the Burgermeister Meister Burger.
Yes.
And then there's another one where he is, it's like the story of Santa, like how he came to be. Mm-hmm. And you had like a young, you know, hot, young, sexy, hot,
redheaded
Santa
who
meets Mrs. Claus and, you know, she was a school teacher and
all that stuff,
right?
Absolutely. So. There are lots of people yelling the accurate titles to all of this.
They're like, no, you dumbass.
Well, it's this one.
I can't remember. And you would be right.
You.
And we would be wrong.
You are correct.
That's fine.
There was... did you ever watch The Muppet Family Christmas? Speaking of Emmett Otters.
So we would watch The Muppet Christmas, absolutely. Because they did, and there was The Muppet Christmas, this is more of a movie, but they would do The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh, I watched
which
that.
Which was so fun.
Here, now, still, every year.
Every year.
I love
Agreed.
That. It's fantastic. You put something out in the Facebook group, though.
I did. I asked in a poll, just like what everybody's favorite was.
Mm-hmm.
And Rudolph came away number one. I did accidentally leave off A Year Without Santa Claus.
And you heard about it.
I did. Everybody was like, people God corrected damn it, what you. About, you know, and they're right. They're right. So I think that one was probably number one.
Okay.
Rudolph was probably number two. Little Drummer Boy came up a few times.
Sure.
A Year Without a Santa Claus. let me see, what else?
Something about this.
The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus. That was the one that I think was the original, the how we got Santa. There was 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, which was a cartoon with the mice and the church. Like he was, I just remember a candle.
Is that a picture?
Yeah, that's a picture.
Oh, yes. What was it with animating? Everybody had giant eyes.
And they were all googly eyes.
They were like, the style of animation is the same for The Hobbit, too.
Yes, it's probably the exact same artist, I bet you. And it's, so the artist.
Enormous.
Yeah.
It's a little creepy, but amazing. And as soon as you see those images, it takes you right back, or at least it does me. It takes me right back to that point in time. It's like, oh, yeah, I know this.
We have left off one of the greatest cartoon Christmas specials of all time.
Which one?
The Peanuts.
Oh,
right.
Charlie Brown Christmas. Yes. And that little Christmas tree.
Uh-huh.
We watch that every year, too.
We do, too.
I love that
one. That one was a big one as well.
Adorable.
Is that one of your, would you say that growing up, that was your biggest one?
That was, it feels different somehow, like in my body. It's almost like that was, I'm sure it was, shown on a totally different night and separate from all of the Rudolphs and the Snowman and that kind of thing.
Probably a different, I would guess maybe a different network had rights to that one as opposed to the, I don't know, that's just in my mind, I feel like that's true.
I imagine that that's true. We're going to say that it's true. In the same way that Gen X women decide anything that's true.
Somebody also brought up Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol.
Oh!
Which I had forgotten about.
Oh my gosh.
That one's
Mr. Magoo was a cartoon. Who would even know that anymore?
Just us.
I mean, like, people know? It's sort of like Mr. Magoo and, what was the other one? Dennis the Menace, like, as a comic strip.
Okay.
I don't know. I put those together in my head. Like, who?
So I don't know. I've got Mr. Magoo tied up in my head with the Rocky and Bullwinkle stuff.
Oh, I think maybe is just that's
because
true.
I don't know. I think I just have Mr. Magoo tied up there because I'm thinking of Sherman and his pet boy. Do you remember that one? That was part of like the Rocky and Bullwinkle thing too.
No, I think you're right. I think there is. Maybe not.
There was also a Garfield Christmas special.
Aw, Garfield, Jim Davis.
Yep.
Indiana,
Jim Davis.
Nope, I don't know if the Rocky and Bullwinkle Mr. Magoo thing is real.
I don't think it's real.
Mr. Magoo or somebody, here's somebody arguing about it on the internet. Which one's better?
Because favorite. That's what we do. We argue about.
Let's argue. Mr. Magoo. If we're nothing, if not Gen X for a good argument. There you go.
I truly didn't know Mr. Magoo had a Christmas special.
I think what is so special about these specials and that particular time in history is that it was only accessible. That's what made it special. You could only watch it that
one
night. You got
it one time a year, one night. If you had something going on, you were shit out of luck.
Yeah.
And that was it.
It reminds me a little bit of the scene in A Christmas Story when Ralphie's going to go listen to Little Orphan Annie on the radio. And
you
know exactly what time that's going to be on. And you have to be there. And you're like making space and only paying attention to that. And now in an era of like our attention can be divided 45 million ways and we can get everything sort of on demand. It's just not quite the same. Like we have to create that for ourselves,
absolutely.
Like have a watch party or get together or do something special for our kids if we have young kids or for ourselves as adults.
And it's different too, because even if you make that space and you've got that time and you're like, okay, on Tuesday at 8 p.m., we're going to sit down or we're going to watch this. You could still pause it and get up and go to the bathroom. You could still pause it and go to, get something out of the kitchen.
You don't have that anxious excitement of running as quickly as possible.
Like you literally.
Or the commercial breaks.
You literally, a commercial break was all you had. And if you didn't hurry, then you missed a snippet and there was no rewinding that stuff.
Yes.
So.
And that moment of like this sounds so deep. The social consciousness of like going to school the next day. And knowing that at least some of your friends had seen the same thing,
like
those sort of group viewing experiences that would impact a large part of the population, at least in the US, I would be super curious to know what sort of holiday traditions around TV specials in like the 70s and 80s were in other countries.
Did Rudolph play in the UK and Australia? No, I don't know, but that's a good question for like, and some of our, any of our listeners who are out there, like chime in. Yeah. I'd be really curious.
Make a comment, send us a message. It's so fascinating. But there are these moments of just like nostalgia in history. It's like, oh, it's never going to be quite the same again.
No, it's all, everything's so on demand now. And you just don't have that feeling of if I miss it, I miss it. And I'm out of luck. And I kind of miss that a little bit. I do. I enjoy the flexibility.
Of course.
Of being able to sit down and stream, you know, an entire show or, you know, a series or whatever.
Right.
But I... And you and I were talking about Agnes, you know, the Disney show, Agnes, all along that we
Agatha?
Just... Agatha. Damn, uh-huh. Agnes.
I love it that you said it twice. That was my favorite thing ever. I got you, girl.
My brain. It all broke.
I knew what you were saying.
Do you know why it's broke? It's because it's pulling shit like Thrasher magazine out of
I'm so sorry. like, you were just like...
I can't keep everything in there.
Going back in the way back of the filing cabinets in my mind.
I can't keep it all in there.
We
my
really
God.
Flashed back to like
early
80s.
Remember my elementary school phone number, but I can't.
I remember my kindergarten teacher's name.
Gosh, that's good. I do not remember mine.
Mrs. Green.
No, don't remember that.
I remember coloring with her.
Couldn't pull those names out.
Just that one. And then my second grade teacher.
I do remember my junior high. This has nothing to do with anything we're talking about. My junior high French teacher.
Yeah.
Her name was Mrs. Priest. She was not a nice woman. Also, I was terrible at French. Very distracted, probably because I had ADD. I'm like, I can't figure out two languages. I can barely figure out one.
I remember my French teacher from my freshman year of high school, because I was at a different school then. Mm-hmm. She wore the bluest eyeshadow I've ever seen in my life, and it was super shiny. And I'm sure she's still living, so I'm not going to say her name. But I think she was French, or she married someone who was French. And so we would have to say her name with sort of like a French accent. And bright blue.
Are you
shiny,
ready for this set? Are you ready for this?
Bring it.
Wild transition that I'm about to make.
Do
I
it.
Am gonna wrap us all the way back around to Agatha Ever After. Are you ready? Blue eyeshadow makes me think of Agnes Moorehead, who was on Bewitched.
Yes,
who was also a witch, like Agatha Ever After
or
all along. Fuck. God.
Oh, you're so close. You did
I'm
great.
So close.
I'm so proud of you. We did it.
Anyway, like what I was saying with all this shit in the first place was like we serial watched that show the same way that we would have watched a TV TV show back in the day where
Absolutely.
It was like it was Wednesday night. You sat down and you watched it when it aired at 9 p.m. because we were all geeking out about it.
Yes. Oh, yes. The collective conversation
Fuck,
about
that was
show.
A long way to get there.
Halloween night, we were leaving the pub and a bunch of us had already watched it, and then we were singing the song because there was someone who had watched it who was like, it was great and I don't ever need to hear that song again. But like we all
like,
had it
bad.
In our brains, so we were like marching down
you
the street
get to
singing
hear it anyway.
There we go.
So yeah, so those holiday specials are not gonna be, they're just they're still special. They're just not extra super special because you could watch them anytime.
How do you describe that feeling? You can't.
Yeah, no, you can't. And I
feeling in your chest.
Like our kids, our grandkids, they are not going to understand that. They're never going to have that feeling. And it's kind of sad.
We can do it. We can make it special for them.
Yeah.
And we
can
pull out the DVDs. So it'll be like a thing. But it's not, you're right, it's not the same. It's just like going to whatever third grade the next day.
Yeah.
Being like, did you watch Rudolph?
Rudolph was on.
I think this is a great time to do our last segment for this podcast.
So the 5 minutes, five minutes of fame.
We need some music for this.
We do. We should let Tim figure that out.
Okay, we're gonna pause right now. Tim will put in some 5 minutes of fame music. Ready? Pause. And we're back.
That was some really good music you picked,
Tim. That
was
awesome. He's got great ideas.
Got good taste.
This story comes from Carolyn B. And Carolyn is in the group and sent in via the website.
We should reference the group real quick in case we've got people who are listening to this and don't know about our crazy group.
Yes.
Or Facebook.
Oh, we did.
Or if Facebook takes the group down, we can.
Well, that's true. This is for the group. It is the Gen X Women Are Sick of This Shit Facebook group.
Yes.
And this was submitted via our website there on GenXWomenPod.com. There's a little section where you can tell us a story.
Yes.
And you can either send us 5 minutes of fame, which are like your fun little run-ins with famous or semi-famous people during the course of your life.
Or something cool that you did.
Dear Gen X Women, which is sort of our Dear Abby.
Yeah. You just have something you want to talk about that you just want to get off your chest. Maybe it doesn't relate to something that's going on in the group necessarily, or something that you really just don't want to have your name associated with exactly. So a little more of an anonymous type thing.
And this was sent in and Carolyn gave us permission to use her name. And this is Carolyn's story. I live in Missoula, Montana. They moved filming Yellowstone to my area in 2020. So I signed up to be an extra. First, I was in a scene with Beth as an assistant in a law firm. She walked by me yelling to get into an office. I don't know. There's probably better punctuation there. Then I was a reporter in the courtroom and sat right behind Costner. They had to do a shot behind my shoulder, so it was just the two of us in the scene. He turned around and said hi to me and smiled. I'm sure I said, because I pretty much blacked out. His hairstylist remembered me from the year before and took our picture unbeknownst to me. After the scene, I feel a tap on my shoulder and he shows me his phone and sends me the picture.
Aww.
It was pretty awesome. I also met the actor who plays Rip at my client's business. He was super nice too. I was a serious Yellowstone groupie there for a while.
Ha ha. Well, yeah, because if you get to be extras of this show, that's really cool.
That's awesome. And just to hear that Kevin Costner was kind.
Yeah, I like that.
That's a wonderful
It's always
thing.
Nice when you know that they're not going to, when you find out that somebody that you like is not going to be a douchebag.
A jerk. Yeah.
I love it.
Did you have one you wanted to do for today?
I don't think so. I think we're good with one today.
Amazing. Yeah. I love it.
Well, but if anybody has them, whether you're in the group or not, you can also call them in too. We have a 1-800 voicemail line. It's 1-888-GEN-X-POD. And you can leave your voicemail about your 5 minutes of fame and we will play that rather than read your story. We would like to hear your awesome voices.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
I hope you get it. At least it's the beginning.
Yeah.
The beginning of the
season.
Went
to Target last night and everything switched over. There is just Christmas shit everywhere.
You have been listening to Gen X Women Are Sick of This Shit.
Hey, Megan.
Hey, Leslie.
What do people do if they want to find us?
Well, we have a website that people can find us on, and that is GenXWomenPod.com. We also have a Facebook page. We have an Instagram account as well. Mm-hmm. We have a YouTube account where we put YouTube shorts and other little tidbits up there. We have a TikTok account.
I don't talk the tick or tick the talk.
You don't tick the talk?
I
barely talk the tick, but I did put a TikTok up.
We're explaining the internet to people again.
That's okay, though. It's great.
We need to know how the internet works. Can people buy merch?
They absolutely can. We have a merch store on the website itself, and we also have an Etsy store, too. So which is pretty easy to find. It's just Gen X Women on Etsy.
And if you are listening to this podcast, presumably you found it somewhere. And while you're there, give us a review.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think.
Throw some stars at us.
That'd be great. We'll take 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5.
Ooh, 5.
Maybe
10. And also make sure that you are hitting subscribe so that you're notified whenever a new episode drops.
Most important.
We also have a 5 minutes of fame that I think we should tell people about, too.
Hell yes. We want to know your stories, your 5 minutes of fame stories. You can send those stories in on the website, or you can call 1-888-GEN-X-POD and leave your story for us, and we will play it live in our next episode.
Yep.
2 or 3.
We'll listen to it on a little red phone, just like Batman.
That'd be cool. Let's get a bat phone.
Bad phone.
I think that's it.
I think you're right.